Hey, if you could live anywhere in the world you wanted to, where would it be? Could you go to Paris? What about London? Listen, in all the world, where would you want to live? What about the Middle East? Listen, we've been doing a series this week dealing with every tribe, every language, every people group. To all the world, there is a massive agenda. And I would pray that every single believer in Christ understand the passion of God, the passion of heaven, all that is going on around the world. Every tribe, every nation, every language, every single precious soul. So if you were to be given the right to live anywhere in all the world, where would it be? And I thought about places all over the world, places that I would love to visit, places that I really believe. I do believe I'll be in Europe. I do believe I'll be in the Netherlands and England and other places here in the next few years, if we're still around, and all about doing the work of this great mission of God. Now, if you're going to live anywhere, would it be in the Middle East? Would it be in Israel? Would it be in the neighboring nations? They used to call it the Near East. It's been called the Middle East for some time now. That's how we all know it. It's the place where Satan fell. It's the place of the Garden of Eden, the cradle of civilization. We're going to talk about the Middle East and all the nations gathered around. And as I've been doing, like with Monday Night, the Russians, I was praying for perspective and put a little sentence with each one of these areas or nations that we're dealing with. Monday night, we talked about the Russians, the long, cold pain of a ripped-off people. A dark thread has and is weaving its way throughout the coming decisions of Russian leadership. Now, Tuesday night, we worked on China, and we called it Red Hot, charging into the future with nowhere to go. Wednesday night was a really tough issue Wednesday night. I mean, I'm just telling on my perspective, tough, and didn't get half of what I wanted to get in. But it was about the European Union, the EU, the belly of the beast, doorway to hell and back, and the rise of Homo Satanus. Now, I am going to do a part two. It's going to be on the Shadow of the Darkness website listed for the European Union, all those 27 nations. And so we hope to have that up tonight sometime. Now, tonight is Thursday the 16th. This is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness live radio broadcast. The website is shatterthedarkness.net, and we encourage you to go there. Hundreds of downloads of MP3s and courses and training materials and a different series that we are working on. This is one of those series. If you go to the website, you'll see that picture of the Flags of the World wall chart, and you click on that, that will take you to the series. I don't know if we're going to do another week on this. I know Friday night we're going to deal with India, but we want to deal with Canada. We want to deal with the United States. We want to deal with England and South America, South Africa, and other places around the world. So we may continue on this live broadcast. We may do it separately, but there is the link. All you got to do is click on the Flags of the World wall chart, and it'll take you to the listing there. Brand new MP3 that's up since yesterday. The title of it is How Spirits Get In and How to Get Them Out, dealing with the idea of auto-deliverance. And so we hope that that will be helpful to many. And I want to say welcome to those in Nevada listening, and to those satellite-wise all over. Blessings to you, and internet worldwide, to those who download the archives. In this one-hour providential divine appointment, may the hand of God go forward to save, heal, and deliver, and also crush the radically ramping up of the dark side's work over the show, over your lives, in the name of Jesus. I pray for a dear friend that sent me an email today concerning her father down in Florida. No names listed here, but just simply putting up prayers for her father and for that family, and asking God to reach in and bring grace and mercy, healing, and wisdom at this time for their lives. It's a tremendous thing to know that no matter what we're going through in life, if we know the Lord, if we know that God, there's a great revelation of the Father's, that he knows our needs before we even ask. And I've told God many times, thank you that you already know. And thank you that you want me to express. You know, a child, if a child just walks up to me and looks at me, I'm not God, and I don't know what the child wants. But if that child looks up and says, bread or water or pick me up, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take care. So the child needs to communicate. And listen, even when we have a hard time, God is able to read. He knows. He knows perfectly what it is we need, what the needs are going to be, what we're going to bring to him. But we need to bring it to him. And that's the good news. Come with great boldness before the throne of grace, that we might receive, listen, right now, today, mercy and grace, and I pray for that, everyone listening right now, that God's grace, God's mercy, may the hand of God go out 90 countries of the world to those of you in Russia and China and the European Union, and now tonight the Middle East, to humanity, to you, loved by God, and acknowledging that God is not willing that any perish. That God passionately desires, and no one does more, your salvation. Your knowing Him. Your receiving salvation. That's what we need to deal with the broken DNA and the death code, the sin code, and the separation. We need God back in our lives. We need the work that Christ did at the cross. Well, that brings in the fix, the redemption for the issues of sin, Satan, and all of the junk. God brings grace. God brings redemption. God brings the gift. Omnion Zoe, it is in the Greek, but it's indestructible immortality. It's the gift. Everlasting life in Christ. That's why he died. That's why he rose, blasting apart the finality of death. So tonight, as we join together, and I want to welcome all of you, dear believers in Christ, keep me in your prayers, and don't forget to remember us during the week. We experience a lot of spiritual warfare over all the things we do, and so we appreciate the emails that come in and the encouragement that comes in, and those who've gotten saved and those who have left, you know, the New Age movement and the dark spirits, and those who've really known to come out of it all and come to the One. I love the revelation of God in the book of Colossians. It talks about Christ. In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We are talking about the infinite in comparison to the finite. I'm glad to be with you tonight. I'm glad, as I'm looking up here on the shatterthedarkness.net website, every nation, every tribe, every language, that is in the agenda of God. That is in the heart of God. But let me tell you something. It is also in the global. It is in the global target of the dark side and the coming rise of Antichrist, the regime, and all of us understand the New World Order issue. There is no New World Order, no coming new age, without the spirit that has caused the inception and the evolution of and will bring the events of the chaos, rise of Antichrist, and all the rest. At the end of days, it's all around us. But there is a passionate plea to world leaders, military and political world leaders, to all the nations of the world right now, and to all the peoples. It includes everyone listening now and all those that would hear. And by the sovereign providence of God, if presidents and kings, and if those in places of great leadership get to hear that the Spirit of God summons you to the communication coming from a 3,000-year-old revelation, a call, a prophetic look. Psalm chapter 2, it's for you leaders, and it's for political, military, and the nations. So we need to understand that this is a very powerful evangelistic, but also a powerful warning revelation. Psalm chapter 2. God is questioning the world. God is showing ultimate fulfillment of Psalm 2 is found Revelation 19:19. when that globalized, well, totally demonized super soldier military system, global system. The Theoron, the beast, out on the field, arms, well, the weaponry's, you know, raised to the sky. It's all about the attempt to annihilate the descent of the coming Christ. Well, you can see what's going to happen in that context. So let me say to the Satanists, Luciferians, and those who do the recon, those who are just kind of questers, take a look at that, because that's the ultimate picture in the future, infallible, irrevocable, unchangeable, and detail-wise, it is the only accurate view of future human history. So take a look, and we want to continue to encourage you to see not only the massive communication God has given, but also the massive grace, the massive agenda. Now, in the context of that, let me give you a little bit of news. One thing is this, kind of something weird. Suspected Henry IV head back with his heirs. It's from the Associated Press, Paris, a 400-year-old skull that researchers say belonged to the celebrated French King Henry IV was donated Thursday to a descendant. The prince, who's had one of the dynasties back then, they got him, they cut it off. And it was said that it was, out there. Now listen, what are you going to do with a skull? And it took a team of 19 scientists, and they revealed Tuesday in British Medical Journal, the BMJ, that 9 months of tests on the skull led them to believe that it was that of Henry IV. Now, this guy's been dead 400 years. Where he's at, I don't know. But there's his skull, the remainder. And it instantly reminded me of Wurzburg Castle. The Hall of the Dead, you know, Himmler designing the castle and all that was going to be there, like a counterfeit to the Vatican, a counterfeit to spiritual, literally center and city and unbelievable that what was going to be plotted and, you know, what was plotted for that area. It's where Colonel Michael Aquino had gone to do rituals down there in the circular area. But down in the Hall of the Dead, it is said that 13 skulls, supposedly of SS officers, were placed in a circle and that others would go down to meditate, and see if they could receive communication. You know, demons can be, in ritualistic format, attached to bones. Ritually used bones, like the Hands of Glory ritual. That's why a lot of Satanists, you know, if in your area the graveyards have been robbed and a thigh bone is taken or a skull is taken, mostly that would be because there's money that dark occultist Satanists would give for it because of the sense of power and what they can use and how they can use it on their altars, like the Hands of Glory issue. Well, anyway, you know, looking at it on the live news today, it's always strange to look at a human skull. You know, once that had all the flesh and the eyes and once looked and a brain was there and one singular human life. One unique, singular human life. Listen, we can remember the words of God in the beginning, not to take, you know, because in doing so, we would die. Death would enter in. In dying, we would die, the Hebrew says. The wages of sin is death. Death is a reality, and the death code inside our broken genes, our broken DNA, it's an intrusion. Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus, the graveside. He wept deeply, very emotional and deeply he wept. And it was there that he said, roll away the stone. That he commanded Lazarus, come forth. A small glimpse of the infinite power of God. Lazarus came forth. And this astounded everybody, of course. Take his grave clothes off. Now, notice he'd been dead. They thought that he would be stinking, rotting by then. And yet, Jesus, in one word, in one command, calling him forth. In the future, in the descent, in the second coming, there's going to be in the twinkling of an eye, in a flash, Greek word atomic. On an atomic level, the physics of God, the exertion of the power of God, mortal will instantaneously put on, and theologically I would describe this as indestructible, irrevocable immortality. It's what the cross is all about, my friends, let alone right now forgiveness, right now God's empowerment, right now God's leading, right now God's mission. But the ultimate end of what was done at the cross, revealed in the end of the book of Revelation, where we, any human being anywhere in all the world that has been redeemed from every tribe, every language, every people group, every nation, will see God face to face in an immortal, indestructible, glorified body, able to look at God face to face, be embraced, loved. That's what the cross is all about. That's what it's all about. So I read this other article today about, here it is, quote, life's building blocks found on surprising meteorite. Now, the reason I bring it up, I've been listening to, I listened during the day to a radio show locally here, Howie Chizik, WNIR, and he's a pretty unique character. I think he gets his theology, though, from the History Channel. Think of that. And he was talking about, for a number of days, about, you know, the building blocks of life were found on a meteorite where none was expected. And, you know, of course, it travels to Earth or whatever else. And so the quote is here by Daniel Galvin from the NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt. Quote, the shock of the collision heated it to more than 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And it's hot enough that all complex organic molecules, like amino acids, should have been destroyed. But we found them anyway. Now listen to this. Amino acids, I'm quoting, amino acids are the molecules used to build the proteins that are essential to life. Finding them in this type of meteorite suggests that there is more than one way to make amino acids in space, which increases the chance for finding life elsewhere in the universe. So right away, this local commentary radio talk show host is constantly repeating, see, life came from out of space. Life came from another planet. The other humans and whatever else and life that was out there, the amino acids got on, you know, was shot off from their planet somehow and on those meteorites. And they traveled all these, you know, all these billions of miles through space and landed on Earth and got into the water and in the primordial ooze, you know, somehow. They came together and began to grow and turned into a tadpole that sprouted legs and squiggled up onto the land. And, you know, the whole evolutionary Darwin junk spouted. And so life comes from a meteor that came from an original place somewhere out there in space. And so they even quote SETI down here and other places. And there are going to be those that say, see, there is some level of organic life out there in space, though SETI can't find anything other than what this is. My question, listen to the question now. My question is this. If there is some place far, far, far away, a human race or an advanced humanoid race where somehow the building blocks of life got onto a meteor or they put it there and it traveled through space and landed here on this planet and not the, and then life, you know, and that's where we're, that's our origin. The equation, those who are into physics, the equation of the issue of finiteness versus infinite. Okay, where did those humanoids, master race, whatever they were, from way out there billions of miles away, where did they come from? Since they're finite. And how do they get these amino acids onto the meteorite that traveled all these? Was it all chance? Was it all? Maybe Stephen Hawking. Spontaneous generation. Grand design? There's no grand design behind out of nothing, spontaneous creation of order and design, personality, love, interaction, creating babies, and living life and eating. Well, I had a little piece of a Snickers bar earlier. And it's all out of nothing, spontaneous generation of creation. Go back to the singularity and boom, here we are. Out of nothing, what is nothing? Can I ask you the question, what is nothing? Is it nothing, nothing? Nothing. Nothing there. Nothing exists. Let's define the concept of nothing. Because in theology we call or use the phrase ex nihilo, out of nothing God created. And what the theologians really meant was out of no pre-existent material, you know, nothing that was pre-existent already out there by itself. Literally in clear, clean biblical theology, it's not ex nihilo really. It's ex theos. Ex Yahweh, out of God came something. Well, we'll get into grand design here in a couple of weeks. We're going to do a series on the whole of the issue. Tonight, it's the Middle East. And though I gave little phrases, kind of again, praying for God's perspective on, well, the Russians and China and then Europe, and we'll do a number of, we might do Germany separately and France separately and Italy separately and on and on and on. I don't know. We'll see what the Lord has for us. But tonight, the Middle East. And we had already put up the center of time, history, and I want you to hear me on this, the future. And the future. Now, that's vital. The Middle East. You know what I add into this today? Hot potatoes. You know, I don't know if you've ever done that before. I mean, we have a microwave. And that's where we put a potato in the microwave. That's what I know to do. Put it in there 5 minutes. Bring it out. Put some butter on it. Knead it. But if it's in there 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, you know, you can't just take it and put it in your hand. If I throw it to somebody else, hot potatoes. That's what the Middle East is. It's literally hot potatoes. And no matter whoever's touching it, who's ever involved in it, everybody's getting burnt. Everybody's getting burnt in the context of the Middle East. There's a lot of things about the Middle East. It is the cradle of civilization. It is where the Garden of Eden was. It is where the historic engagement to eternal humanity bearing the Imago Dei was in the beginning. And out of the heavenlies or out of the cosmic battle, well, it came here. We lost by fatal choice, the choice that opened the door, that changed our structure, brought in death, changed our nature, brought in sin, and changed the development, and has been a hellish, bloody, painful, saddening, sickening war all along. But I tell you what, the Middle East, center of time, history, and the future. Hot potatoes, you better believe it. Hot potatoes. I mean, the Middle East. Let me just touch on a few of the nations there. Because I'm looking over, you know, the past and how history looked at the Near East. But then after, in the 1900s, the Middle East, and how we look at it today. Turkey, Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates. By the way, hello, United Arab Emirates. We have downloads going there constantly. And if there's any soldiers, blessings to you in Christ. Listen, email me. We'd love to give you anything free you need to listen to. Also in the Middle East, Yemen, Cyprus, Gaza Strip, not fully sovereign. And Iraq, Israel, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, the West Bank, not fully sovereign, Iran, Egypt, and there's the greater Middle East that would include Armenia and Georgia. I'm not going to go into all that, but the Middle East as a broad, with Israel is really the centerpiece. And the hot potatoes of the Middle East, no matter who puts it into their hands, listen, everybody's just getting burnt. They don't understand the spiritual equation and the presence there. Let's drop back a little bit and talk about the Middle East. Cradle of civilization, Iraq. Let's talk about that area where the Garden of Eden is. Where Adam and Eve actually walked and lived. Where they gave birth to Cain and Abel and down the road. Where the development... Now listen, we only have bits and pieces. That's what the book of Genesis is all about. Chunks of history. Massive time. Sometimes up to 2,000 years, you know, the events can be apart. But we have the Middle East. We have the place where the angelic beings with the flaming swords that guard the tree of life and nobody can get to. We have the area there in the Middle East where the fallen watchers came down, they say Mount Hermon, in that area, where they took the women. And we go to Genesis 6, hundreds and hundreds of years later from the creation and fall, to the engagement of these angelic beings taking the women, genetically creating hybrids, Nephilim. Mutant, yes. Powerful, beyond... I mean, they're like superhumans, but they weren't human. They were hybrid in the demonic sense. They were never considered human. They were absolutely... It would be incredible if you could have lived back in time and actually saw giants, mutated giants, what they wanted, what they were all about. And when they took more women, or if Nephilim joined with other Nephilim and created a second generation and a third generation and a fourth generation, do we understand one of the reasons for the flood, the judgment was to save humanity? Because there was very few left. The goal, as many people have seen now, has been, you know, as we look at back at it now, was pretty much clear to annihilate literal humanity based on the prophecy of Genesis 3:15 that coming into the world, you know, literally God in human flesh, a savior for humanity, but it involved the issue of God in human flesh. Not Nephilim flesh. So when you read the book of Matthew and Luke and so forth, when you look at the genealogies, there's a reason why the human side of Christ, his physical body, bloodline, goes all the way back to Adam, specifying pure humanity. God in pure human flesh, unadulterated human flesh. That's right. Because before the cross and God's incarnation into human flesh, well, we have this massive Old Testament. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Here's where the Nephilim roamed. Here is where Babylon was. Here is where Nebo and Shemosh and Moloch and Baals and the moon god. And here's where Nimrod, the mystery religions. Here's where all this dark presence manifested. Here's where all this dark worship and human sacrifice and the goal of human transmutation and the wiping out of humanity. Well, God wiped that issue out back at the flood. That was a saving act. If not, and humanity would have stopped, we wouldn't be having this discussion today, would we? It would have all ended way back then. What would there have been? A few people in heaven? No, God had. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows the billions. God's work in the redemption of the altered, fallen human race, infected with, directly infected with the sarks, the sin nature, the death code, the genes that we can't seem to fix, though artificial intelligence and transhumanism and all those people are predicting they'll be able to do something about it. Really? You're going to live forever in this body, in this world? Do you really want to live in Iran? How about Iraq? How about... where would you want to live? As we go all the way back to the Old Testament days and see the battles, the Hittites, the Moabites, the Philistines, Samson, you know all the stories of history. That Old Testament is simply a small piece of the thousands of years. And it's the selected by the Spirit of God information that we needed, and that's told to us in the New Testament. It's all written down for our encouragement, for our hope, all to give us the revelation of what has occurred. Let me tell you something. I listened to a documentary just the other night, Stephen Hawking. Watching this dear man in that wheelchair, only moving his muscles in his face to communicate. It is pretty amazing. But what's more amazing to me is his quest to find the answer of origins and reasons why we are here. If ever there was somebody that was searching for the reasons why and looking at that frail body, looking at the human race, we are able to be damaged, slaughtered, and killed. Some people preserve the skull for 400 years to give down to one of the descendants. What's the descendants going to do with the skull? In the Old Testament. The years of bloody battles, Nephilim, Moloch, child sacrifice, all of that, and all leading up to the New Testament. Now let's talk about the Middle East. This is where God visited in human flesh. This is where the prophets, up to 300 or more prophetic revelations of the coming of God in human flesh. Now, that is massive communication on any scale, massive information. It is amazing that anybody missed it. Not everybody did. It is amazing to me that we do not, as believers today, study massively biblical New Testament prophecy, not just what God's going to do, but God has given us massive insight to what the dark side is and is doing and will do, and it all involves primarily the Middle East. Now let's go back real quick to the birth of Christ. Bethlehem. Listen, all the prophecies, the virgin was there, and the Spirit of God moved, and she was pregnant. Emmanuel. The angel explained it to her that it would happen by the Holy Spirit. And this is the physics of God. This is the science of God. And this is the amazing grace of God. And so you read in John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the reason behind all of existence. In the beginning was the reason, in the imperfect in the Greek, was always there, no beginning, no end, always God, no beginning, no end, and God became flesh. The Logos became flesh. Dwelt for a while among us. Boy, did that bring a heated battle. Revelation 12 shows the panoramic view. Satan was already there, ready to destroy the baby Christ as God came into the world. And, of course, was involved getting into Judas's body and mind, leading him to betray the Son of God unto death, to have him killed, to have him destroyed. But the sinless one, of course, death had no rights. Satan had no rights. There were no rights, nothing in him. Sinless Lamb of God. That's why he was able then to blast apart the finality of death, destroy the power of sin, take the rights away from Satan, crush the enemy. God sees the issue of death as an enemy, and bring eternal life. all in the act of who he is, what he's done, and what he's bringing. I do hope you're ready. I do hope you know him. I do hope if you know him, the Spirit of God is blessing you in the context of what you have in Christ. If you haven't read 1 John 5, I have written this, you know, this the Spirit of God, this has been written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know, K-N-O-W, gnosko in the Greek, an experiential, absolutely sure, know that you know, knowledge that you have, you already have, possess, omnion zoe, eternal life. It's dwelling in you if the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, if Christ is in you. Now, Romans 8 is very clear for those who are questing. Let me say to the remote viewers and to the psychics and to the New Agers, and let me say to the Mormons, to my Mormon friend, I will be writing you back. We've been packed in the last couple of days. Well, part of that is because we're going to engage some folks that have come from Montauk. I'm not going to say anything, mentioning no names, but some incredible stuff. We're going to get back to one of the individuals, all about mind control, government stuff, Montauk, all the stuff that still does have everything to do with the future. See, the past, even when we think in terms of Christ, and where was the cross? Middle East. Where was the blood of Christ shed? The Middle East. Where were the disciples when Pentecost occurred and the Spirit of God came down? Do you remember? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The resurrected Christ, staying with the disciples 40 days, says to them and to us as believers, but you will receive power, dunamis is the word, the felt expressed power of the Holy Spirit when he comes upon you. And you will be my, Christ's witnesses. In Jerusalem, Middle East, and in all Judea and Samaria, Middle East, and then it says, and to the ends of the earth. The great mission of the redemption of the world begins in the little tiny spot of Jerusalem and spreads out Judea, Samaria. Read the book of Acts and you'll see how this is exactly what began to occur. And we're glad to be a part of that last phrase. If you're listening right now, you're part of that last phrase. The power of the Spirit of God would lead the believers in Christ, those who've experienced salvation and were clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit, to be witnesses and share Christ with everyone. So to the Russians, to the Chinese, to the Germans and the Italians and the French and you, listening now or later, God summons you to come home, come to Christ. Jesus is knocking at the door of your life to bring into you redemption, salvation, eternal life, the presence of God. Now, that's what Jesus was referring to when he said, to the ends of the earth. The Spirit of God would lead and guide and develop, and the body of Christ would grow, and God would continue his agenda to the ends of the earth. So it doesn't make any difference whether you're in Somalia, whether you are in Kenya, Brazil. You can be there in Mumbai. You can be there in Manila. All these places where we've seen downloads of this material, we know that there is a sovereign Holy Spirit of God leading to all of you. Because God wants you saved. God wants you to come to Christ. The will of God expressed in the book of 2 Peter, the third chapter, in the context of end time prophecy, the overwhelming issue is that God wills, Greek word bulimai, his determined counsel, that no one perish, not one, but that all of us. That's why I always say no one wants you more than God. Nobody wants you more. There's times I've been away from home, I've wanted my wife. There's times I've been away and I hadn't seen my daughter for a while. Even 5 days, I really want to see her. My mother lives far, far away and I've got to go down 5 times this year to see her. It takes about 8 hours to drive. I want to see her. You know, she's about 78, frail, can't see too good, funny as can be, but she's my mama. She knows Christ. And she tells me that daily she thinks about dying, and she knows where she's going. A clear, firm assurance. I was even in the hospital with her a little over a year ago when they said she was dying. They called me down there. They said she's going to die. She had this air mask thing on, all these tubes, everything in there. She's lying in there. She grabs my hand. She raises her hands to the heavens. She calls on God to come and get her. You know what she said to me? She looked over at me in the middle of all the distress and pain and all that she was going through. She absolutely expected to die. You know, she was going to die. You know, when she came out of the coma and woke up and later told us, she was disappointed. She absolutely was certain she was going to die and go be with God. But she looked at me at one point, and through that mask, she mumbled out, and the nurse heard her say it. She said, "Russell, does Jesus know where I'm at?" And funny, and but yet telling, because she wanted to go home. The Spirit of the living Christ dwells in her, the assurance of eternal life, and her knowledge of absent from the body, present with the Lord instantaneously. If you're a believer, when you die, absent from the body, instantly present with God, seeing the living Christ. No questions about it. Listen, if you've got questions about your life, wherever you're at, and even listen, you know, scientist, physicist, king, president, government worker, military man, woman, soldier, university student. Bottom line, a human being. There's a prophecy that speaks of the future that shows vast throngs of humanity from every tribe, every nation, every language, every people group, saved and redeemed by the blood of Christ at the cross, what he did there. In the future, the real new coming human race. It's all by God, infinite, well, he has the ability to give eternal life, provided there at the cross. But in the Middle East, hot potato. In the Middle East, wars, bloodshed. In the Middle East, it's where God visited the first time. It's literally Revelation 19. If you don't know it, go look at it. It's where he's returning, by the way. It's the place of a developing, overwhelming gathering of the enemies of God in Christ. It's where massive wars, the Crusades, massive blood, as I said, the Nephilim roamed, the nations engaged in demon worship, sacrifice of children. I mean, all the way to the day of the spirit-inspired ideology, demonic spirit-inspired ideology of the Nazis. And millions and millions died. And in Russia, millions and millions and millions died in the Great Purging. Biblical prophecy teaches that in the future, where most of the events will be centered, billions are going to die. White horse, red horse, black horse, pale horse. Revelation 6. Prophetic communication revealed in pictorial form. Billions will die in the shortest period of time in history, mostly centered in the Middle East, mostly where the hot potato of in-day and end-time issues will occur. The Middle East. Isn't that the place of the Prince of Persia over the Persian kingdom? You know, where Iraq and Jordan and Iran and all these nations are now. Did the Prince of Persia die and go away? No, his name is Allah. You got to understand the territorial, the celestial, the nations and the cities. There are entities. Michael, of course, the archangel, defender in Israel, obviously revealed in the book of Revelation, fighting against the devil and the dragon and his angels. They lose. There's going to be a lot of individuals that lose. I mean, there's going to be defiant atheists that lose, apathetic agnostics that lose. There's going to be chosen ones and Satanists and real Luciferians, Bilderbergers and elitists and secret society groups. They're going to lose badly. In their exchanging the glory of God for finite things, in their exchanging the glory of God and the truth of God for lies, what do you embrace? You see, in the revelation of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the parousia of Christ, the parousia, the epiphany, the apocalypse of Christ, in the context of the coming of Christ is the parousia and the apocalypse of the Antichrist. There is the secret power of lawlessness operative already. There is where the rise of the Antichrist will occur and where Satan already is operative, counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. Now listen carefully to the Spirit of God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They perish. And if you're lost and reject Christ, you perish because you refused, strong word, refused to love the truth and so be saved. Please know if you end up in hell, God wanted you to be saved. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God in human flesh outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem. Talking to the Israelis. How often I would have taken you up, but you willed Thelema. You willed not. Left desolate. Israel is in biblical prophecy. You could take a little read of Romans chapter 11. You could read about the future of Israel and what God is going to do in redeeming a nation and fulfilling promises during the millennium. You can see the future, what's going to happen, but it's all going to be centered around Israel. Even when the Antichrist, listen, the Middle East, that's, listen, in Europe and the Islamic world, the EU and all that, there's going to be a great joining when the Antichrist arrives. And I believe he's already alive and would have to be before his apocalypse to the world. That would include the two witnesses are alive then. That would include that the false prophet is alive. That would include that maybe if the great chaos comes and then the apocalypse of Antichrist, the unveiling visibly, physically, Revelation 12 of him and his fully prepared, fully charged, fully financed, fully empowered regime, a globalist. Globalism will not occur by an incremental evolutionary approach. That's been going on, laying the foundations. It will occur by world astounding events. The great chaos, a revolt, black awakening, if you want to call it that. And then the rise of Antichrist. And then the coming of the two witnesses. And then the ascendancy from the earth of the false prophet. The 3.5 years. The covenant-breaking betrayal of Israel, the attempted annihilation of Israel, the destruction of the nations, that which is in the north, in reference to Russia and the federation connected with probably Iran and the Arab nations. Oh, vast destruction. Billions are coming to their deaths. Engage and embrace the lie. This goes way beyond old Nazi Germany, my friends. This involves the whole of Europe and the Middle East. Does it involve all the rest of the world? Absolutely. But the center of where the rule of Antichrist will come from, some say Europe, but it's going to involve the entire Middle East. Because ultimately when you read 2 Thessalonians 2, the Antichrist is going to go to the temple in Jerusalem. There he's going to declare himself to be God and above everything that is called God. The abomination that causes desolation. It's going to occur there in the Middle East, there in Jerusalem. It's there where Satan, Homo Satanus, will broadcast to the world, will, you know, announce himself as God. The finite entity in human flesh, once again, the equation of finiteness, even in a powerful being like the fallen cherub, never has been able to evolve and become infinite. Can't. The physics aren't there. Only one stands as infinite, uncreated, uncaused prime. Immortal, eternal, indestructible, immeasurable. But totally, infinitely relational. God. Say it if you want, Yahweh Adonai, Jesu Christu, God. Do you know God? Wherever this finds a hearing, may the Spirit of God speak to you. May the Spirit of God summon you. May the Spirit of God draw you to the living Christ. May, by the authority of Christ, every dark spirit, lying spirit, and deceiving work of the enemy be broken off of you. May eyes be opened, Lord. May hearts be opened. And God save and heal and deliver. Show your great sign and wonder over the counterfeits of the enemy. The Middle East, the key, the hotbed. The Middle East is not only where the Antichrist will come prior to preempting the return of Christ to that very temple and declaring himself to be God. The wrath of Antichrist will be unleashed. The battle and the smart wrath judgments of God begin to fall on the beast kingdom. It's going to happen so quickly once it begins. You're talking less than seven full years left of this history we know. This history we know is fallen, interrupted human history. The fallen, interrupted human history began in the garden when you and I and the human race embodied in the beginning chose. Now you could say, well, I didn't choose anything. How'd you get the sin nature? How come you're lost? How come your body's going to die? And do you know whether you're going to heaven or hell? Do you know God? Do you know that God loves you, that he wants you? And all I can say, my dear friend, my dear human friend, my dear friend, as a human being who knows God and his love and his grace and his power, he's beyond the physics. He's beyond the rise of all this information and knowledge. AI, transhumanism, can't touch him. The screams of the atheist Richard Dawkins, the confusion and quest of Stephen Hawking, or even the screams of a yelling, angry Luciferian. None of it affects, alters, or even challenges God. You read in the book of Ezekiel that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would turn. You read in 1 or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you perish because you refuse to love the truth. It's on your head. If you find yourself in hell forever, no second chance. If you find yourself lost forever, it's on your head. And so today, in light of God's calling and summons, obviously, if you're lost, you're hearing, and by the Spirit of God, God's calling you to come to Christ right now. Receive him. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, to be Savior and Lord, God and King, and receive his gift of salvation and eternal life, and come to know him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you two things to read if you have time. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, the great invitation of Jesus. The book of Romans, chapter 8, that explains that if Christ is inside of you, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ dwells inside of you, and yes, you're empowered, you're saved. But if you have not the Spirit of God dwelling within you, you're none of his. To Middle Easterners, doesn't make any difference your background. I'm just talking to human beings, Arab, Israeli. I'm talking to all of you by the leading of the Spirit of God. to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Died, rose from the dead. Don't accept a dumbed-down, de-deified version given by the dark spirits. You can't know him. He doesn't do anything for you. Look at the real Christ. Look at the cross. Look at what he's done. Prince of Peace. You see, everything continues to focus in that direction. I was told one time in one report, there are more reporters and news agencies in Israel than any other place in the world. Everybody thinks and feels and knows that's where the, it's all going to explode there. Iran, nuclear weapons, Israel going to take them out. Russia going to help who? United States going to help who? How's it all going to come about? Antichrist comes. What about Armageddon? Where's that at, Middle East? The largest super soldier military system in human history will be gathered in the Middle East. Will be gathered in the Middle East to aim its weaponry into the sky. And from there in the Middle East, Armageddon. Satan's final attempt to annihilate God. A third attempt, by the way. You ever read Revelation 19:19? Why do the future military systems, by the way, the military systems today are being prepped, the precursors, the evolutionary process. Oh, you're being groomed for Armageddon. How do you get out of that circuit? Christ breaking the power of Satan's blinding work, getting the sovereign presence and power of God inside of your life to know the difference. And biblical revelation, prophetic revelation, blasts out of the water Edgar Cayce, Nostradamus, Webbot, all of it put together. Because it's the only thing that gives infallible, irrevocable, and the detailed, accurate coming days. Armageddon coming to the Middle East. There, the war will be over in less than a day. Listen, I hope you're ready. Listen, tonight as you're listening to this, and we only have so much time, it's a vast audience of the Middle East that we would speak to. The website, shatterthedarkness.net, www.shatterthedarkness.net. And let me just say this too. We pray for you. We ask God's blessing. And even now, we're asking all believers, hey, remember us in your prayers. Remember the mission here in your support. We love you. See you Friday night. God bless and good night.